You know, I'm always looking for anything, really, that I think can offer help to others and look at other people's experiences and maybe what they've been taught and maybe they have had education and maybe they've written a book, you know, something that can help all of us. There's so many different ways to look at how we can become more aware or healthier or whatever it is you're looking for. So I got an email from a publicist about Dr. Allison J. Kay, and she wrote a book called Vibrational Upgrade, A Conspiracy for Your Bliss, Easing Humanity's Evolutionary Transition. And I thought, wow, this is fascinating. This is right up my alley. So from Florida, Dr. Allison Kay joins us. Good morning, or afternoon, or whatever time it is for you. How you doing?
Good. How are you, JT? I'm glad to be here with you on your Out There show.
Yeah, that's great. And it's TJ, but you're close. Either way, you can call me JT. That's fine.
Oh, I apologize,
no,
TJ.
No, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. I maybe I should go by JT. Wouldn't that be fun if you call me that the whole interview? I think that'd be great. You know, one time I went camping with these people up here, and for some reason they thought my name was John. And I kept telling them, it's TJ. And eventually I just gave up because I became John.
Yeah.
I became John that weekend. So you seem like you have a really good spirit about you. Tell me how you came to this, all this knowledge and information that you know about.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you. I was born this way. I've come to understand in all the hundreds of media interviews I've done when people ask me how it is I do what I do. It really, yes, I have training, and I moved to Asia for 10 years to study subtle energy, but I was born with this sense of connectedness to everybody and everything, and I, instead of shutting it down, have just learned to cultivate it and work with it and enhance it. And so I grew up going through the woods with my older brother every day after school, tromping through the woods, and he'd break the twigs and I'd be just looking around at the trees and the animals and the butterflies and the birds, and had a lot of fun and just really connected with nature all the time every day after school. And then I began writing in a journal at like age 12, probably sooner than that. I have a trunk full of journals where I was really letting my higher self talk to me. It wasn't where I was just living in an existence where I was closed down. I was always receiving communication and just followed my guidance and started writing and had a connection strengthened from that. And then around age 12, actually, my mom and I were talking out in the backyard on the swing we had. You know those wooden swings that, it was one of those kind. And she said, you should become a psychologist. And that's because based on what we were talking about and her knowing me, I thought about it. When I became a freshman in college, there I did. And in the third semester, TJ, I was just flabbergasted with how little they were getting to the answer of what makes humans happy, what makes humans choose what they do. So I left the major because it was mostly about the hardwiring of the brain. You know, psychology is a soft science, and they were trying to become a hard science. And so they stuck with what they could measure, which was data recall and industrial management, you know, its application to capitalism and helping it function even stronger. So I left that major and ultimately ended up as an English lit major, knowledge of humans through an art form. And so from there on in, I've been looking through a more holistic approach of what makes humans choose what they do and how do we choose to make choices that will make us even happier and more free in our lives. And so I have been working with the holistic model and since then, as I said. And so I picked up meditation when I was in my first career, actually, as a holistic consultant, because it was so stressful. And then I became then I learned about energy medicine, and my first energy medicine of the six I do was Reiki. And so when I realized that, like Gore, the machine was too big, and that politics wasn't the way to really affect change, I relied on my English literature bachelor's and went into teaching in the classroom. And alongside the teaching, I began to practice energy medicine with clients. And that took me over to Asia, where I became an international school teacher in the international system because I was making too little of money to pay back my student loan for my master's here in the States. And so a friend turned me on to the international school system, and I increased my net cash flow by 60% because the standard of living being lower and being paid more. And I studied subtle energy. I went to different monasteries and learned more about meditation. I got certified over in India to teach yoga and meditation, and I learned Qigong and teach Qigong, and continued to work with clients, expats from around the world, and even local Chinese, because I lived in Taiwan. So I then studied all their holistic practices, like reflexology and acupuncture, and just returned to the States after the 10 years living in Asia, taking this business full-time and working and leaving the classroom behind. So I've had about, at this point, 25 years of experience working with energy medicine, and there's just so much more available, especially in these times that we're living in, that people just living a day-to-day existence don't have a connection to. You know, in America, where everybody's so busy and just trying to get things done on their to-do list and get their tasks accomplished, where they can barely have space to hear their guidance and in their heart's wishes. And when we're receiving that intuitive information of something that makes us enthusiastic or, hey, check this out, we tend to ignore it because it doesn't have as tangible as a outcome presented. When we get this piece of enthusiastic energy in us to say, hey, go there, or hey, do that, there's still a little time where people can just do what they feel like doing and follow what they feel like following, which is actually what grows our lives and expands us into something beyond what our parents have lived, beyond what our neighbors are living. And so my work is all about helping people continue to expand and open up to more and more of themselves and continue to grow. So there's a saying in Taoism, which is the ancient Chinese culture, something along the lines of, as you, an oak tree with its resistance or its solidness stays stiff, but bamboo learns to blow with the wind. And so therefore, as we age, we can grow more and have an even better life, instead of it being the American version where we're going to just expect to get sick and get maladies and have to medicate and, you know, are restricted to this kind of aging process. And I'm not all about age. I'm just about living in a magical flow when you're connected with something beyond just the everyday mind. So how's that for starters?
That's a pretty good start. That's a real good start. Boy, what a background you have, and you've lived so much of it, and you've been elsewhere, and you've witnessed things. And through all these different meditations and energy medicine, I'm guessing you've witnessed people make some miraculous healings, would you say?
Yeah, indeed.
Okay. And your area of expertise, now you wrote this book, A Vibrational Upgrade. You call it a conspiracy for your bliss. It's almost like you're making it sound like somebody doesn't want us to have bliss.
Well, it seems like the average, so the stats officially are 85% of our daily choices are made from our unconscious or subconscious mind, meaning at least 85% of our existence comes from living at a level of automated robotic living. Do you know what I mean?
It's like we're programmed to, but, you know, I'm saying that, well, maybe we're deliberately programmed to live a certain way.
Well, if you take, and to rise above that programming requires access to more of our consciousness. And so what I do is I work with in the chakra system, which is an ancient science that most ancient cultures around the world have some version of. And when you really wrap yourself around what creates a vibrant, healthy body, tons of stamina and well-being, and a happy, content heart, and a person that feels safe in their body and safe on planet Earth to lodge their spirit down in their body instead of what the majority of people are doing, which is hovering above their bodies with their intellect and with their mind and kind of somewhat spaced out and just automated living, where they're doing what they did the day before and they're keeping up with what they have to keep up with. So when we're embodied down in our body and we're present, which is what all of the work I do helps to create, there's access to a lot more beyond this automated living, this programming. And so the chakra system, like, for example, the third chakra is the solar plexus one, and in it is this is the fire element, and it's every chakra is connected to an endocrine, one of the major glands of the endocrine system, and this one's the pancreas, which is responsible for sugar metabolism and is involved in the diabetes issue that a lot of people are facing. And so in that, every chakra, it's a wheel. That's what chakra means from Sanskrit to English, and it turns, and if it's open, and it's connected to a domain in our life, every chakra covers a domain in our life. The root chakra, for example, covers abundance and money issues and how stable is our foundation and do we feel like we have the right to be here. And the third chakra covers manifesting and what we put out onto the planet, our business or our job. And we use the fire and energy of the third chakra to get to all of our tasks and to manifest out into the world what we're manifesting. At the same time, TJ, what's really cool is that the inner child is also housed in the third chakra. And so the element of joy is contained there as well. On the flip side of that, the empathic equipment, what gives us our gut instinct, so that gut feeling that we get, there's actual machinery in our bodies located at the third chakra that picks up on how other people are feeling. We enter a room, we pick up on the energy of the room. And if people have different backgrounds, they might overcompensate not feeling like they have the right to be there because they were born in a womb and into a family where one of the parents was hesitant about having kids or worried about how they were going to provide, or there was a trauma while the fetus was in the womb. And so that, in the developmental stages, affects the root chakra, which coincides with, I don't feel like I have the right to be here. It's just what forms unconsciously in the unconscious beliefs. So somebody with that could tend to walk into a room, and to make up for that, they would pick up the negative energy from their third chakra, getting the information of the feeling or the energy in the room, and then they might, because they don't feel like they have the right to be there, overcompensate and try to make the negative energy become positive. So they might, even when they don't feel positive and they're not even aware that they're consciously doing this, absorb the negative energy in the room and try to make it feel lighter. So if our third chakra is excessively opened, we're going to be picking up too much on other people's energy. And so anxiousness also resides in the third chakra. So the third chakra is at the solar plexus. It's at the beginning of the digestive tract down in the internal organs, visceral part of the body. So that can lead to, if we're taking in too much of other people's energy and we're clearing other people's negative energy, then we're going to run our digestive tract ultimately more anxiously. So that ends up leading to a gastric upset. So this is like burping a lot or like some of the more advanced digestive issues. So what I'm talking about is the mind, body, and spirit connecting at each of the chakras and having, and this is the holistic model, the holistic understanding of what's behind a physical malady. So the American Medical Association about 4 years ago came out with a rather, for them, generous estimate where they stated at least 50% of all physical disorders are from an emotional cause. Now, in the holistic world, we know that's more up in the 90 percentile.
Right.
So what I'm giving you an example of is being able to go back to an understanding of what led to a physical symptom on the body or in the body, because it's not eternal. The physical body leaves. We leave it, but we are eternal. So we're actually, I remember, like, I was back here for a year and I was working with clients after being in Asia for 10 years, where they have this connection to their ancientness. They have this connection to their, awareness of they've been around for 5,000 years. And so there's this sense of living from karma. There's a sense of living from reincarnation and an acknowledgement that life is a lot longer. You know, it's one body and then another body and another body. So there's a sense of eternity, and there's a sense of the soul is what takes priority, and therefore energy is what takes priority, not the physical, that the physical is temporary. So remember being back here after living in immersed within that understanding for 10 years, completely acknowledged what I had sensed my whole life in the American model but didn't get acknowledged, and what it had helped me cultivate my skills further. And so this woman was presenting me with some kind of physical issue, And I remember thinking, after her talking about how the doctors had not been able to diagnose what she had and the different tests they had run, how much in America we are focused on the physical and how little we're focused on where the real power is, which is the soul or at the eternal level, the thing that exists beyond the body. So why don't we treat that at that level? Because anything in the physical body is a symptom of something that's upsetting at a soul level or at an unconscious level. So what we hear in our thinking mind every day, when I teach folks meditation, which I've been doing for 25 years now, both kids and adults, it is only our conscious mind. So when we hear like a complaint in our mind or a judgment of somebody or a plan of or a problem solving or figuring something out, that's only our conscious mind, and that's really only composing about 15% of our daily existence. There's this whole other part of us, the unconscious and the subconscious, that contain our beliefs that were formed in past lives, which get put in through the cellular memory and then into our one cell and then our two cells, and then we become the embryo and the fetus. But also this lifetime and our conditioning from ages 0 to 8, when we're a blank slate, and from ages 0 to 2, we can't even disassociate from our parents. Their feelings and thoughts are ours. And then that's why we start with the terrible twos going, no! No, because we're separating. We're starting to become an individual. But from ages 0 to 8, all the neurology is forming. So I taught AP Psych based on my first major. One of the things that I ended up teaching alongside English literature in the classroom to high school students was AP Psychology. And in the any psych textbook 101 for the college level psych in the developmental years, they're talking about a division. They have two separate chapters for perception and for sensory data. So in the development, I married a lot of my training with the developmental psych understanding from the more scientific perspective. And I understood that from ages 0 to 8, where while our neurology is wiring, our chakras are also wiring with these unconscious beliefs. So we're busy, we're figuring out how to do it on planet Earth from ages 0 to 8. So let's say at age 4, we're trying to understand how our brother gets all this love and attention and good feeling from dad. So we look and we see what he does. And what he does is he listens a lot to dad. The dad likes to talk. And so older brothers just listens and smiles a lot. And so we then conclude unconsciously, I'll get that love if I listen, don't talk a lot, and just smile a lot. And what that does is it gets wired into the chakra relevant to communication, which is the throat chakra. And what that does is it launches and lodges an unconscious belief in our system that we then operate from the rest of our life until we start to do the kind of work that I do and unpeel it, is, okay, for me to get love in a situation with relationships, I need to listen and not talk a lot, and I need to smile. Which then people come to me saying, I don't seem to be able to speak up for myself. I don't seem to be able to speak my truth. I don't seem to be able, it's really hard for me when I have an issue with my wife to be able to communicate. It's really hard. So, or it's really hard for me at my job when I see something that is wrong and that I want to speak up for myself and or maybe get a raise. I don't. So there's this whole other level of existence, even beyond the blocks that I'm speaking to, where once we clear our systems of all these unconscious blocks that serve to limit and restrict us in what we choose on a daily basis. So in that example, we might have a difficult marriage because we're not communicating ourselves effectively and frustrating our partner because they don't understand what we're really feeling. In our job, we might hold ourselves back and put a cap on our money earned potential because we're not speaking up and asking for raises, and we're kind of just doing the daily tasks without speaking our truth. And so people will come to me with an awareness that I just feel stuck, or I just feel like I'm not moving forward. I'm just staying in the same space or at the same level in my life. And I'll start clearing the blocks in their system with the energy medicine I do, which is completely possible. And it's just what I consider to be a soul journey or soul evolution. So as we clear the unconscious blocks, the person starts to open more. The chakra or the wheel is less closed down. So now there's more consciousness that's freed up, because when we have an unconscious block, it locks down energy. That's why sometimes eventually there's chronic pain. So if the chakra isn't able to turn as the wheel it is because it's not open, instead it's blocked, there's less life force or qi, mm-hmm. like Tai Chi or mm-hmm. Qigong, mm-hmm. that flows through that area of the body. So if it's the throat, then there's less life force turning throughout the region of the throat, so you might end up with a tight neck, or you might be more prone to chronic throat clearing. So once we get beyond the clearing of the blocks and the chakra is able to turn the fresh vital life force or the chi throughout that region of the body, there's so much more energy that people have. That's one of the first symptoms of one of the first outcomes when working with me is people start to have more energy. It's typically like the first result they start to see, and better sleep and a more balanced appetite. And so that takes a certain amount of time. But once we get beyond that unwinding of what's blocked up each chakra with the unconscious beliefs, there's this whole other level of existence. When a person's system is entirely open, so the top chakra, the crown, is at the top of the head, and it's connected to source. And that's where our connection to source or God or divinity and our higher self sits. And the word yoga in Sanskrit means to yoke with, implying to yoke with our higher self and divinity. And when we're nowadays on planet Earth, there is such a massive change going on. It's considered humanity's greatest evolutionary leap ever. It's humanity's spiritual awakening. So when we're opened at the crown chakra, we're connected to source. We have a lot more access to energy flushing in down through the top of our head. And if all the rest of our chakras are open, that energy goes all the way down to our feet. So energy, fresh life force is traveling throughout the body. We have access to a lot more guidance intuitively. We have access to a lot more energy. We have access to a lot more awareness. We're more awakened and present, and we're more in the flow of life where things just seem to flow. And there's synchronicities, or what on a more mundane level will be referred to as coincidences, but they're not. They're because your spirit is able to be housed in your body and emanating out from your body, because it's not shrunk back. You're not closing it down. You're instead opened now. It's able to emanate out. So people are more attracted to you. People notice you more. Your business might be more vibrant because people are noticing your advertisement more than another person's advertisement in the same field. You're more in the flow. So all flow, like love, money, energy, it all flows in on that same flow. So there's this entire other level of existence that we're all being guided to move into now. And once we get through the blocks, whether that be showing up as a physical symptom or even a diagnosis or a crisis like divorce or job loss, it's not really what it seems to be, which is one of the greatest teachings I got from living in Asia, is nothing is as it appears to be. Everything is as it appears to be. It's kind of the yin-yang. While it looks like it's black, there's still a spot of the white in it. Or while you look at the white side, there's still a circle of the black in it to make up the overall picture. And so it's really the higher self calling forth change, saying this: you need to expand, you need to grow, you need to evolve beyond this. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. That's kind of what I've been talking about on my show for a long time. And you even touched on a little bit about the changes that we're going through, that we're shifting. What is it that you see is going on right now?
So I'm in Florida, and they love to do lawn care here. And so there's the leaf blower, who's hopefully moving away now. Do you have any background noise?
No, I don't.
Can you hear that?
No, I don't hear that.
Okay, great. Excellent. Okay. So I'm glad you asked that, TJ, because when I got back from Asia, now it's interesting what my system saw as the right timing. I left 2 years before 9/11, and I came back 2 years into Obama's first administration. So that was a very particular time for me with my political background. It's my first career, my master's is in, to pull out of this country and to be over in Asia studying energy and then come back in 2010. And with all that I had gained. And I think a great part of it is that I just wouldn't have had the patience to deal with what the way was that the country was dealing with the post 9/11. and to help present with what we're in now. I had Voice America come to me and ask me, will you do a radio show talking about the myth of 2012 and what it's really about? Now, I had not been focusing at all on that whatsoever, but it felt right. And so I said yes, and so I did it. And I had scientists on the show that were both scientists from my first book that I had quoted in What If There's Nothing Wrong? That's my first book that I wrote my last year in Asia. And then I also had scientists on who were specialists in the 2012 understanding. And I went to the Mayan ruins in 2011, and I went to the Mayan ruins as a yoga teacher and an energy medicine practitioner with a group of specialists on a special cruise for the Galactic Alignment on December 21st in 2012. And the 2011 trip, I was barefoot at Chichen Itza, the main ruin in Mexico, where the Mayans actually came up with the calendar that predicted 2012. And the ground was, I was barefoot then, and the ground wasn't anything special. When I was there in 2012, we got special permission to, can you hear that?
A little bit. I can hear it a little bit.
Okay. I'm going to move away from it. We got special permission to have a shaman lead us through ceremony right at Chichen Itza. And what he was saying was that the pyramids were built to help the earth harness the high vibrations that they saw coming in around this December 21st, 2012 galactic alignment. It's when the first 260,000 year period ended and we're moving into a new era. Now, Yogi Bhajan of the yogic tradition halfway across the planet also was aware that we're moving out of one age, the Piscean age, and into the next age, the Aquarian age. And so the Mayans aren't the only ones with this understanding. However, they're the ones that really seems to be looked at for what does this really mean in 2012. And what it seems to mean is the Mayan shaman said that these vibrations that are going to be showering down from the cosmos. Now, you remember, their entertainment at night was the stars.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So they looked at the night sky, and they lived from that connection. And if you go to their ruins, everything is built around sacred geometry that they got from looking at the cosmos and being connected to the cosmos. So it's absolutely, they're considered more advanced in some ways than some of our science about astrology and astronomy. Mm-hmm. And so, they have some really advanced scientific understanding in mathematics and in astronomy. So what he said, the Mayan shaman said, was that the Earth seems to be in the December 21st, 2012 galactic alignment, it's going to be having these really high vibrations from the cosmos pouring down. And it was so strong that they said, they use it as a guidepost, as an ending to one era for humanity, that humanity has been in for 260,000 years. So they built a pyramid of stone to help with the peak of the pyramid get hit with these vibrations from the cosmos, from the planetary alignments and the different asteroids that were coming in, so that the triangle could receive that high vibration and disperse it out onto the planet, instead of just the high vibrations hitting the Earth and causing things like a lot more tsunamis, a lot more earthquakes, a lot more natural disasters. So I found that fascinating, and I found it very, very informative.
That's very fascinating, and I'm guessing also, not to get off the topic, but don't you also feel that the pyramids were built for many, many, many reasons? I mean, that certainly is one really cool reason when you explain that. But I also think they also used them as light sources and healing sources and many other reasons for building those pyramids.
Well, if you go, I'm talking about the main biggest pyramids. But yeah, like I went to some other ruins. I just took some clients on a VIP trip, actually, to the Mayan ruins last month. And because January 1st to January 11th of this year, we just got another influx of really massive cosmological activity. They were considered higher in vibration, what was being showered down upon us from, I'm going to use the term, the galactic center. Now, I know that sounds out there, the name of your show, right? But it's not meant to be.
No.
The ancients all lived in connection with the stars. As I've gone further in my yogic path, the interesting thing is that I have been looking more and more at the different astrological alignments because I'm trying, in an effort to understand why I feel the way I do. So in that, this is such an auspicious time. This is considered humanity's greatest evolutionary leap, even more so than when we went upright from being on all fours, and even more so than when the dinosaurs went extinct. So in 2012, we had a certain level of vibrations, but the ones that just happened January 1st to 11th were even higher than what happened in December 21st, 2012, because we can now handle it. So then there were two eclipses. And this full moon we just had on Sunday was started as a new moon with a full solar eclipse. I was there for the lunar eclipse, and I took these clients to a couple of new ruins to me. I took them to Chichen Itza, and did activations for them there. But I also took them to these other ruins, and one of them had, to answer your question, the pyramids being used for other purposes. One of them had a pyramid, and at the top of it was something called the Temple of the Dolls. And they used to do sacred ceremonies in there. And even, so there were other purposes for them too, for sure. Sometimes it was ceremonial. Sometimes the main priest would come out and talk at the top of it. Like Chichen Itza, if you stand directly beneath the stairway, beneath where the house is at the very top, where the priest would come out and talk, you can hear him. And you clap your hands and you hear an echo. If you step too far to the left and you step too far to the right, like you're hundreds of feet below the top of the pyramid. It's a huge pyramid. You can't, the clap doesn't echo. The way they planned that pyramid was so that anybody who came in from other tribes that weren't supposed to be there and didn't have direct positioning right at the base of the stairway to where the priest was speaking, he didn't want them to overhear what he was saying. So the sound wouldn't carry. So they structured the pyramid in such a way so that the sound would only carry if you had positioning directly in front of the stairways or at the base of where the high priest stood at the very top of the pyramid. So, I mean, it's phenomenal. So the times we're in now are very disruptive. It seems like there's a lot of chaos. It seems like there's a lot of breaking down of things. It seems like there's a lot of unexpected, abnormal, weird things happening. And it's only because in the biggest perspective, the highest perspective, the biggest picture, it's because we're getting asked to change. We're being commanded to change. And anything that's of the old ego mind, that's centered around things like greed or competition or
duality.
Not unity. Yeah, duality even. Duality is a little bit different, though. It's a little bit higher of an evolved concept. I'm just talking about the more base human emotional reactions. Hatred, separation, judgment, that does come from duality, yeah. But again, that's a little bit more elevated. We're being asked, like even the governmental institutions and the banking practices that keep some people down and make others really wealthy, those are breaking down. And they're showing up as protests. They're showing up as problems getting worse before they get better. They're showing up as elections that are having things go on in them that we've never seen before in some of these first world nations. And it's all because there's a new, better system that's slowly getting put into place. And so you're feeling, everybody's feeling more opened and more awakened. And I know about 2 years ago, I did a telecall series that's a product now on my website called Your Sensitivity is Your Power, because I had so many people telling me, I don't know how to not feel the negative energy all around me. I feel what other people are feeling, and I don't know how to stop feeling it, because everybody was opening, because this is considered humanity's spiritual awakening. And so as you awaken, you open. And you feel more, and you sense more, as if you've been meditating. So it's there's a much bigger picture going on here, and if you can just hold the highest perspective. I have a free call every Thursday, every month, on the last Thursday of every month, where you can get support for yourself and your system, and you can get activations and clearings. You can get spotlight coaching with me, and then... So if you just go to Allison with one L, JKAY.com, and you look up for the free stuff tab and you see monthly vibrational upgrade call, if you sign up for that, you will immediately get a 25-minute MP3 full of clearings of blocks that are most typical towards people not having success, to help clear what your blocks are towards letting yourself have more success. And then you also get access to the previous month's free call, where you're going to hear clearings and activations to help you feel supported. People use those and listen to those every day. I'm not even exaggerating. The Tuesday night call I do is different. It's a weekly call, and it's an hour where I'm not interacting or talking at all. All I'm doing is clearing all of your blocks, or not all of them, gradually over time, getting them cleared. And then people use that to replace their negative self-talk. It's phenomenal, the shifts in the transformations that people know they're meant to go through right now. And a lot of the times people reach out to me and say, I don't really, they'll think they're reaching out to me because their money is low and they know they could be making more money with their business. And what's really happening is there's this whole new business that wants to get birthed through them, or there's this whole new aspect of their life that wants to get opened and awakened that can add to their current business. So there's all of this expansion that wants to happen, but the expansion is in alignment with your higher self and your highest good, what you're here to do, and real connection with Source and bringing that down onto planet Earth. So more of us, as you see, more and more people are leaving the corporate world and they're starting up businesses based on their passion and their heart's desires. And so more and more people are living in that alignment with their truth. And you hear the word, what is it? Authentic self, used so much in America now in the coaching industry because of this.
Yeah, we are. I'm seeing it as well. People are waking up and no longer, I guess, what doesn't serve us anymore is, you know, it's rising to the top. All these things are coming forward. And we're seeing more transparency. Yep. This is about bringing transparency forward. This is about whatever doesn't serve us is going to rise to the top, not just the jobs and the people around us, but our own emotions, things that we, you know, you were talking about the moon, and I just went through that. This, I really cleansed, let's put it that way. I had a real emotional feeling with that moon the other day. So,
yeah, it was a fun one.
And the thing is, I see this so much, and I think a lot of people know this, that there is a great shift going on, a great change, and it really is going to make this world a better place. Would you not say that's going on right now? I mean, it might be turmoil for a while, but we're heading in that direction.
Yeah, indeed. And it's a big, major detox right now. It's a huge cleanse that's going on right now. And so it's like what I tell my clients when they start working with me is it's like there's a thing called the healing response. And the healing response is where your system is like a fever peaking before it breaks. You know how that happens?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You know how when you were a kid, if you had zit, you had to let the zit fill up with toxins before you could pop it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like that. And that's what's happening right now, planet-wide, within each of us individually, but then our collective institution, too. So if people can get caught up in the breakdown of it, and my work has been clearly to help people rise over and above and onto a central alignment or into a central alignment, with what is actually happening, and keep the higher perspective and stay aligned with their higher self and ground, like you have copper wires in the electrical circuitry when we have speaker wires, and they put copper as one of the main metals in the wires. Get your feet on the ground because you're getting a lot of electricity, because vibration is electrical and magnetic, and that's what we're getting showered upon us. Chi is, I do this with my Qigong students, you just play with your hands, have your palms facing each other about 2 inches apart, slowly pull them apart, slowly bring them close together, but don't let them touch, and start and do that for a little bit and start to feel what you feel in between your palms. That's life force. That's chi, and it's made of electricity and magnetism, or magnetics rather. And so you are having flesh with a higher electrical vibration, and so it can spin you out, it can space you out, it can make you brace. And so if you get your bare feet on the ground, even in snow, or you get your back up against a tree, or you put pennies in your shoes, or you go to Walmart and you buy the copper socks, you're going to be helping yourself ground, which is really important, because you could get spun by these energies, and a lot of people are. They're thinking, oh, it's just like I get lost in my phone, I get lost in my scrolling, I get lost in the digital world, and that's not it. It's just you're not grounded, so you stay up in your mind, and so you stay up and continue behaviors that keep you in your mind instead of being grounded in your body. If you can exercise, that's even better. If you can reach out to me and get on the see what I offer, go to my website and get yourself some support, because you could be having the time of your life right now. That's what's meant to be happening.
How do you feel about, like, these different tones that are out there? these different theta tones. Do you think those help people?
So sound healing, as we become more of the advanced, awakened spiritual beings that we are, and our consciousness awakens, and we move beyond the blocked consciousness where we're just living from habit and ego mind, as we've already discussed, and we become more opened and awakened, one of the things that's happening is our consciousness can be better attuned by sound healing. So I don't know about the theta tones. I'm trained, one of the energy medicines I use is theta healing, created by Vienna Stiebel, and I use a form of that, although I do it out loud, which is different than the theta tones that you get, like if you go to YouTube. I believe that the Solvaggio tones are ancient, and that has scientific studies behind it, and they work. And I also use, there's some studies behind the binaural beats and the isochronic tones to help balance brain hemispheres. I don't know about the theta tones. I know I use sound healing. I came back from India from my yoga teacher training with this brilliant bowl, and I use the bowl, and I use different tuning forks, and I use different sanghas, which are the Tibetan bells, because sound healing is always a part of the work that I do. So, yes, it's effective, but you just want to kind of research what you're using and look at how you feel as you use them and after you use them.
Right. Well, a friend of mine got me to use, not like they forced me, but I mean, a friend of mine told me about the 528 hertz that I got off some website, and I can't tell you, it was incredible. I felt so good, and I still listen to it from time to time, but man, the energy uplift I got from that was just, and here's this tone that some people say, I can't listen to it, it's too annoying, and it's just kind of boo.
Okay.
And I would listen to it, and I thought, I don't think it's a bad tone, and I just kind of would lay there and kind of doze off and meditate, and I feel really great.
Yes. So that shows how advanced you are. That shows how ready you are. So it's really funny because some people won't even ever listen to this show because they're still so wound up in the duality and the ego mind and their blocks and their limitations in the old paradigm. And so we're the breakthrough that has to happen before somebody can get over to listening to the show and over to using the tones without it bothering them, usually seems to have to happen through a crisis. Like people, Eckhart Tolle, the author of The Power of Now, says that for the masses, the greatest spiritual teacher is crisis. Now, I don't come from that. I come from, we are in, if you really understand the human existence, a conspiracy for our bliss. And the more that you choose based on your truest heart's desires, the more that you align with who you really are, the more that you create space to understand who you really are in self-caring, whether it's nurture, whether it's massage or it's out in nature, the more prolific your life is going to be, your money flows are going to be, what you do on a day-to-day basis, creating that money is going to, all of it, create to an upliftment of you, your life, your body, so there's no reason for any kind of disease to dislodge. You won't be attracted to lodge into your body, but then somebody would have to come in and dislodge. You won't even be attracted to, there's a point that people get to, I've seen it with my work over and over and over again, where their self-love, their care and their nurturance for themselves, their selves get so strong that they don't choose from a place of a vibration that matches junk food, a vibration that matches unhealthy food, a vibration that matches unhealthy relationships. They are only able, after a certain point of clearing, to choose what is in support of their upliftment and they're soaring and they're doing well. And until then, it's almost like you stay locked in the ego mind and in those tones that are meant to clear the ego mind, because the 528 hertz is what is the heart chakra's hertz tone. So when you can't, in the Chinese and the yogic culture, both believe that the spirit resides in the heart chakra. And so that means that is your spirit. So that's why I say your intuition doesn't just come from your third eye. Your intuition comes from your heart when you're feeling uplifted to it or enthusiastic about doing something. Listen to that. That's intuitive guidance from your higher self, which resides in your heart chakra. But if somebody's living from their mind, more than their higher self, then that tone for the of the 528 is going to bug them until they peak. They reach their peak, and the toxins of their living from the ego mind get peaked, like the fever peaking or the zit peaking, until something happens where they have to come out of living from that vibration or that ego mind's dominance, where it's just what, you know, they just want something physically, tangibly proven. They want to exist only with what they can see. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in divinity. They don't believe in anything beyond their body. They're, you know, I'm not saying any of those beliefs are bad and wrong. All I'm saying is what I have observed that keeps people locked up in suffering and would keep people not able to listen to that tone is that they have something in them that still wants to be clear that's blocking them from living a more heart-based life. It's funny how that stuff works. So if something, it's almost like my first meditation teacher said, choose the exact opposite of what your mind wants. So it's almost like a mental diet. So if your mind is saying, for example, I want that third piece of pizza, eat up until one bite left for the second piece. If your mind says, do this, all of these tasks before you get up from your chair, complete two-thirds of them and then get up from your chair. I mean, it depends on your temperament. If you're lazy and you're procrastinating doing stuff, I mean, I don't mean to say don't do your list. What I'm trying to communicate is a bigger concept here where your mind isn't always the best thing to listen to. Mm-hmm. The practice of meditation is learning detachment from the thinking mind to create space from the thoughts, because the thoughts have conditioning, and you could be living in a community or an environment where you're enhanced to rush around a lot. Whereas if you moved out of that community and you moved to a beach-based community or an island-based community or most other cultures on the planet other than North America and Western Europe, you would see that there's another lifestyle that you could have that isn't so busy. But so much of our thinking is conditioned by our environment that some of the thoughts that we have that we can, in a meditation practice, observe ourselves having is just from conditioning. And it doesn't have to be, it's not necessarily true. So when I went over and lived in Asia, I realized that the chaos that was in the traffic, in the non-zoning, like the Organization of American Zoning with the city, with the suburban, with the rural zoning laws, that does not happen in Asia. And so there's in the traffic flow doesn't get regulated the same way here. So there's this presentation that seems to be more chaotic upon first glance. But upon living there for long enough, you start to see that there is actually organization in the chaos. It just is from a different set of beliefs and then therefore laws. Hmm. So what I'm trying to communicate is obviously beyond, I'm not talking to somebody about mental health. I'm talking about the meditation practice, and I'm talking about the practice of learning to center and ground in your eternal self, the higher self that is even beyond the everyday thinking mind, because the everyday thinking mind isn't always leading you to the best choices for yourself. So if you looked at one thing in your life that you say to your friends and family you want, and yet you look at your behaviors, and if your behaviors aren't choosing the actions in the beliefs towards that thing you're saying you want, then you have an unconscious block there. And some of those blocks will show up as, oh, like if you're going for a new business or a new revenue stream and you know you have to reach out to that person to help you because you need some coaching or you need some guidance on how to do that, and you find yourself going back on Facebook instead, or you hear your mind say, go reach out to Jane instead, or go play that video game instead, or no, wait, you still need to take care of that business with your taxes first. I'm not saying don't take care of your taxes, but what I'm saying is a lot of the times when the soul is going for expansion, the ego mind will pop up with a reflexive limiting, keep it similar, keep it the same, don't take that action, seemingly procrastinating thought that if we're not observant or mindful, which is the whole other half of the meditation practice, we'll listen to our mind, we'll procrastinate, and we won't end up going for that new business or revenue stream that is really our expansion. Hmm. So I have to actually close up now because we've gone way over, and I have a client that I have to prepare for.
I appreciate it. It's awesome. Your book offers Here's what it says. Learn how to take yourself not so seriously, life so seriously, which I agree 100%. Receive the tools to lift, lift your energy to new heights, which is awesome. Learn how to replace forcing and efforting with allowing and receiving. I think that's great. Discover new ways to move beyond where you previously felt stuck. I think a lot of us go through that, especially as we're constantly right now really evolving quickly. And we might reach a certain point, but then we get stuck and we might reach another point. And then learn how to live a life filled with more fun, meaning, and fulfillment, because that's the what we're meant to do, isn't it?
It's exactly why I say it's a conspiracy for your bliss. So vibrational upgrade, a conspiracy for your bliss. The subtitle that my publisher wanted was Easing Humanity's Evolutionary Transition, because he understands the reason why I do the work I do. Otherwise, I consider what I'm doing as my political action, helping people get more free. So you can get Vibrational Upgrade, A Conspiracy for Your Bliss on Amazon. And my first book, What If There's Nothing Wrong, is also there, written in my 10th year in Asia. And start with Vibrational Upgrade so you can really see what else is possible for your life and living.
And I say also go to your website, which I think is AllisonK.com, AllisonJK.com, right?
Yep, one L, Allison, and then the letter J, and then KAY.com.
Because I'm on it right now, and I'm looking at it, and there's a lot of cool stuff on here. So, Dr. Allison K., thank you so much. I hope we can talk again sometime, because I think we just scratched a little bit of the surface, and it was really a blessing to talk to you today.
Thanks, TJ. Yeah, I'm open. We just have to schedule it, but I'm open. Thank you for your show and what you're doing to help people stay aware of the bigger picture going on out there, because it's needed.
Well, you have a wonderful day, and blessings to you, Allison.
You too. Thank you. Bye.